Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15. The first Corinthians chapter 15. You say, that must be a long chapter. It is. We've been in it for quite a while. I think you'll like what we're going to look at here this evening, though. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I appreciate the fact that you're in church tonight. I really do. I know with it getting dark so early and the weather cooling off next weekend, they tell us it's going to be really cold out. And so with the darkness and the cool weather coming out on Sunday night, it seems much later than it is. And it'd be much easier just to sit in a comfortable chair and turn on the Facebook account and watch it online. And I'm glad that we have that for the people that are not physically able to come out here and be here, But don't ever make that a substitute for being in church, because it's just not the same. And we live in a day where people are getting used to doing things from home, working from home, going to school from home, and now sadly going to church from home. Home is not church. And so I appreciate the effort that you put into being out here and being with us on Sunday evening. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to pick up in verse number 39 tonight and go down to verse 49. Dr. Gipp was with us last Sunday, so we took a break from 1 Corinthians as he preached to us about a man whose name appears only one time in the Bible. Do you remember that sermon? His sermon was kind of unforgettable. That fellow in the book of Exodus that saw all the things that happened, and then his name showed up one time. And every time you go into a room and flip the switch, you should remember his name. And if you don't, I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's up to you to remember, but it should be easy to remember. And that was a very good message. But we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 39. Let's read these verses together. Please follow along if you would in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Adam was made a, I was going to read that line again. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this Sunday evening, this crowd that's here. Father, this time around your word, and we pray, God, that you use these words of Paul to encourage us, to instruct us, and teach us. Father, there is so much wealth of information in these few verses tonight, and we can only kind of skim the surface of it as we gather together, but help our Bible study, help our preaching of your word, Lord, to feed our spiritual man. And Lord, increase our faith and our confidence and our trust in our wonderful Savior. Bless your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 39, Paul is answering the question that he asked in verse number 35. So look back up, if you would, at verse 35. Paul said this, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? One of the great arguments in Paul's day against the resurrection was, what body are they going to come up with? Their body's put into the ground, it decays, it rots, it's eaten of worms. And if there's going to be a resurrection, what in the world is God going to raise? And for this reason, and maybe others, we read about the Sadducees who did not believe in a resurrection. In fact, mocked the resurrection when they questioned the Lord about it. And so Paul is addressing this fact of the resurrection body. When we are raised again. Now, you and I that are saved, and if we're alive till the Lord comes back, we don't have to go this path, this route. And that's the route I'd prefer to go. I'd rather go by the sound of a trumpet than by a bunch of mourners. All right, I'd rather go by the upper taker than the undertaker. But we don't know what our lot in life is, and we don't know how long the Lord's coming might be postponed. That's not the right word, but how long it might be till he comes. And we might have to cross the threshold of death before we get there. But Paul wants to give us hope that even though these bodies will be laid in the ground, I like it, he doesn't use the word the body will be buried. He said it is sown. And he just gave us an example of that in these verses, verse 36 through 38. He talked about in verse 37, that which thou sowest, thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. Paul gave us a lesson in botany. All right, a scientific lesson in botany. And there he told us that grain, that kernel, that wheat that's put into the ground, it goes into the ground and it decays. But what comes up from it is much more glorious than that which is put into the ground. And so Paul used a naturally accepted and believed system of botany to prove the reality of the resurrection. Now, I like Paul. Paul was not braggadocious. He was not egocentric. But he knew his stuff. And what we find now is that Paul's going to move from botany to zoology. And he's going to talk about animal life. And then from zoology, he's going to enter into astronomy. And he's going to break it down to bodies celestial and bodies terrestrial. Do you know what those are? Sometimes we have to look these words up to remind ourselves. It's been a long time since high school science class. And that's the only time those two words appear in all of our Bible, by the way. Celestial is there twice. Terrestrial is there twice. I might mention that extraterrestrial is not in the Bible anywhere. No matter how many times E.T. phones home, he's still not there in the scriptures. But Paul is going to use all these things to show that the truth and the reality of a physical resurrection is not as unbelievable as some people would claim that it is. If a kernel can be put into the ground and yet grow up to be a stalk of corn with many kernels in it, then the body can be sown to bring out something far greater than it is also. And Paul uses these scientific methods. Somebody says the Bible is just an old book written by a bunch of old men. Yeah, old men that were scientists and astronomers. If you've read the book of Job and the book of Psalms, they knew their stuff, and God has covered all these different areas. He didn't have to use all the technical terms to do it, but he sure gave us a book that covers just about everything. So let's look at Paul's explanation this evening about the resurrection body. We all know that this body that we live in and dwell in right now is a temporary housing. None of us are, I don't think, anxious to die. And so we're not in a hurry to leave this body, but when we do die, we don't die. You are not your body. Your body is the temporary housing of you. You are going to live eternally in one of two places. You'll go to one of two destinations, but you are here to stay. But your body is not. It is a temporary housing. You know how I know it's temporary? Because I've lived in it for 69 years now. And I know the longer that I live in it, the more temporary it's getting. I preached on heaven this morning and the four witnesses that tell us about heaven. And I thought about that message all week long. I thought, you know, this message is going to mean a lot more to some of us, white-haired folks, than it is going to mean to some of us not so white-haired folks. We're thinking about heaven a lot more than I think about heaven a lot more than I did when I was in my 30s and my 40s. It's much more of a reality to me now than it is back then. And this resurrection body, I'm looking forward to that thing now. Somebody said that that we define old age by the bees. Baldness. I didn't write it down, so I can't remember what they're. Baldness, bulging, bunions, and I think there was another one in there somewhere. I can't remember what it was. But the farther we go on, the more we're looking forward to that resurrection body. And Paul describes it for us. Let's look at two things here in our text tonight. Number one, the differences in created bodies. The differences in created bodies. Verse 39 to verse number 41. Whether it's botany, zoology, or astronomy, Paul tells us that everything that God made, he made to fit the environment he placed it in. That is a wonderful, scientific, biblical truth. That every body, and we're talking about not everybody here, but every body, whether it's in botany or astronomy, whatever, everything that God made, he made it fit for the environment it dwells in. And you and I have been designed in our human body to be earthy. Did you notice that word down there in verse, back down in those later verses, verse number 46? Well, where is it? Verse 48. And as is the earthy, did you notice it's not earthly? Pay attention to the words, pay attention to the letters in the word. It's not the earthly, it's the earthy. Why? Because we came from dust and we return to dust. One day we'll have something that's heavenly, but right now it's just earthy. Don't put a lot of stock in it. Don't put a lot of confidence in it. Don't invest a lot of money in it, because it's going to decay. So Paul tells us about these different bodies that God has created. He breaks them into two categories, and you see them in verse number 40. The bodies celestial and the bodies terrestrial. What is the difference between the two? Well, the bodies terrestrial are physical bodies, animal bodies. Let's put it that way. They're earthly or earthy bodies. The bodies celestial are heavenly bodies. And he lists some of both of those just so that we can understand it correctly. Let's start with the first one. He says in verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men. This is the terrestrial. One kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. You know, there's a gun shop up in Canton, Ohio. I guess it's still there, called Finn Feather and Furs. And I think that's just one brand. There's more than that. And I thought, well, they stole their name right there from the book from the Apostle Paul. Now, he didn't use those three words right there, but he said simply, there's the flesh of beasts. That's fur. Another of fishes, that's fins. And another of birds, that's feathers. And God created each of those animals specific for their environment. All right, those beasts were created to live on the ground, and so their bodies are adaptable to the ground. They hibernate. They can survive in the cold because God has clothed them in such a way to do so. They have fur on their bodies. I'm not going to go too far with this. We don't. All right, just mark it down. We don't have fur. I'm not going to say anything more than that right there. But God has created them specific for their environment. They have to wander outdoors in the wintertime. They have to travel and get around. And so God made their bodies specific for their environment. The fish, those with scales. All right, we don't have those. Again, that's as far as I'll go. We don't have scales. We have musical scales. But we don't have scales on our body. God created them because their environment is water. You say, Pastor, this is like second grade stuff. Yeah, but sometimes we need to be reminded of second grade stuff. And sometimes those that think they're so smart need to be taken back to second grade stuff. The beasts are made for the earth, so they have fur. The fish are made for the water, so they have fins, they have scales. The birds are made for the heavens to fly, so they have feathers. Each one of them is designed specifically and differently by God for their appointed environment. You know, that just blew evolution right out of the water or out of the sky, depending on which one you do. It's not one crossing over and becoming another. God made three distinctive classes of animals from the very beginning. Some with fur, some with fins, some with feathers. God has a distinction between those earthly bodies. One never becomes another. They're fit for their environment. Then notice he speaks about the celestial bodies as he goes down to verse number 40. There are also celestial bodies. And he says in verse 41, there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. Isn't God's creation magnificent? We talked about it a little bit this morning, how beautiful God's creation is. God made the sun. God made the moon. God made the stars. And he made each of them differently. The sun, the one that lights our world, the one that shines so brightly and is burning off all that energy that scientists can tell and astronomers can tell us about, that brightest of the stars. And then there are the smaller stars, each one of them with different degrees of magnitude, different degrees of brightness. And then there's the moon that simply reflects the light of the sun. Now, I know that's disputed by some today, but let's just go old-fashioned and traditional and not get caught up in all the theories and all that kind of stuff. God made three different things that give or reflect light to different degrees, and each one of them in a different realm, and I think it's wonderful. The preacher we heard Friday night or Saturday, one of the nights, Brother Shirley, said something I'd never heard before. I didn't realize it. And it just astounded me that the earth is moving. He said 450,000 miles per hour or something per hour. The earth is actually moving through space. And the sun is moving through space. And while the sun is moving through space at 450,000 miles an hour, the earth is rotating around it and going around the sun as the sun is moving and the earth is moving around it. And then the moon is moving around the earth as it's moving around the sun, as it's traveling from one end of the galaxy to the other. And that just astounded me. That anybody could think that all that just happened by some natural accident of gravitational pull. It is God that created all these things, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and gave each of them the bodies that they needed. And the Bible goes on to tell us, for some reason, that one star differeth from another in glory. You're reminded of Genesis chapter 1 when God created all things, and it says, and he created the stars also. It's almost like a PS at the end of things. When he created the greater light for the day and the lesser light for the night. And oh, by the way, he created the stars also. And man has been studying those stars. And I don't know, I haven't heard it lately, but I remember a few years ago hearing they're still discovering new stars. And if you'll send so much money into some astronomical place, they will let you name that star after your loved one for Christmas, and you can get a little certificate that says that star is named after them, because they claim they were still finding new stars out there. I don't doubt that they are, because God's creation is so magnificent, and no one star is identical to the other. They tell us no one snowflake is identical. No one fingerprint is identical. that even in identical twins, they are not identical. God's creative ability is just amazing. And so Paul is laying that groundwork to give us this thought that if God wants to make a resurrection body, it is no problem for him. If he could make all of these animals and all of these celestial bodies, if he could do all of that, there's nothing God cannot do. So Paul gives us the differences in the created bodies. Paul is talking 1,500 years before a fellow named Galileo. Before all the scientific theories were gone out. They just built upon what Paul already establishes in 1 Corinthians. There's nothing new under the sun. The difference is in created bodies. Then look down, if you would, at verse number 42. So also, all right, that connects us to what we just read. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Not just the resurrection from the dead, but the resurrection of the dead. As the kernel is placed into the ground and it rises more glorious than ever before. As God designed all different animals and bodies and celestial bodies for their environment, as long as we're earthy, we need an earthy body. But if we're going to go to heaven, we're going to have to get rid of this one and get one that's fit for that environment. You want to be an environmentalist? There's how to be an environmentalist right there. We're going to get rid of the body that's fit for this earth and get a body that's fit for heaven. And Paul, in verse 42 down to verse 49, describes this heavenly body. I'm so thankful that Paul took the time to do that. And give us, not just make the statement, well, here's how it's going to be, but he gives us five changes we're going to look at here, five changes that are going to take place to prepare us for that place called heaven that we're going to live in for all eternity. In verse 42, he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Notice this in verse 42. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. There's the first change. This corruptible will put on incorruption. That's what it talks about down in verse number 53, talking about not those resurrected from the dead, but those resurrected from the earth, basically, at the second coming of the Lord. But we'll not get into that part of it here. In verse number 42, he simply says this, that body that dies is not buried, it's sown, it's put into the ground, it's planted in corruption. But that body is going to be raised in incorruption. Oh, it's a wonderful truth that our resurrected bodies will no longer be corruptible, but incorruption. He said in verse 35, with what body do they come up? Well, they come up with a incorruptible body. The body we have now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1. The body we have now is temporary. We've talked about it already. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, that's talking about our body, of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now that's not talking about in my Father's house are many mansions. That's talking about your body. You have a physical body that's going to be dissolved. You know, when something dissolves, it doesn't just disappear. It dissolves over time. It wears out. It decays. And that's exactly what happens to our earthly bodies. When Adam and Eve took of that tree in the Garden of Eden, they destined their bodies for decay. You know what God told them? In the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. They ate. They didn't die. Adam lived to be 600 years old. I don't know how old he was, but it's before any of his children were born. So he was much younger when he took that. He did not die then. He did not die for centuries after that, at least not in his physical body. But the minute he took of that forbidden fruit, his body began to age and decay. It became corruptible. We can't always go back to the Garden of Eden and project how it would have been and how it would have happened. But just imagine, if he'd not taken of that fruit, his body would never have decayed. It would have lived forever. But now we have a body that is corruptible. It decays. It faces decomposition. And then eventually it dies and it's put into the grave. It is sown a corpse. And it's resurrected as an incorruptible body. That's going to be a great thing. I like the song that says, never grow old, no, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old. That's a great song, but you know what? It's not the land that makes us not grow old. It's the resurrected body. Because that land couldn't do anything if God didn't give us a resurrected body. After it was sown in incorruption, it's got to be raised in, or sown in corruption, it's got to be raised in incorruption. And only God can do that. The God that made the sun, the moon, the stars, the fin, the fur, and the feathers. The God that did that is the God that makes our incorruptible body that we're going to live in for all eternity. So Paul says in verse 42, from corruption to incorruption. Look at verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. So the first change is from corruption to incorruption. The second change, and they happen at the same time, it's not stages. It goes from dishonor to glory. There is no honor in our flesh. There is nothing. You read your Bible and you read over and over again that in my flesh, Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse number 18, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Don't brag about your flesh, because it's only temporary. It's going to be dissolved. You know what we do? The older we get, we talk about back in the day. Back when I did this and back when I did that. We reflect on those glory days, as we call them on earth. But everything we've done is dishonor, because it's been done by the flesh. And it's not necessarily wrong. God designed our bodies to live on this planet. We would be strange creatures indeed if we had a glorified body living down here. That's why the angels don't dwell on earth. That's why you don't run into them at Walmart and the other places you go, because their bodies weren't designed for down here. They're designed for up there. And one of these days you and I are going to have one of those bodies, because it's going to go from dishonor to glory. It's going to be a glorious body. Look at Psalm 17, if you would, with me. Psalm 17. We talk about Paul writing 1,500 years before Galileo, where here's David all the way back in the Psalms. Psalm 17. Psalm 17 and verse 15. David said this. Psalm 17 and verse 15. As for me, I would behold thy face in righteousness. I hope you understand who he's talking to. He's talking to the Lord. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, what a precious hope, and what a precious promise, that this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this body will be changed from dishonor to glory. Never to disappoint the Lord again. Never to fail. Never to dishonor his name, which is we're so prone to do in this earthly body. One of these days, all those things will be gone, and we'll change from dishonor to glory. Looking back at 1 Corinthians 15, and verse number 43, We see in the five changes, it'll go from corruption to incorruption, from dishonor to glory. Folks, you realize this is your future? You and I that are saved, we're redeemed, our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is a guarantee for us. You'll not get a guarantee like that anywhere else. That God's going to change your mortal body, change your body from corruption to incorruption, from dishonor to glory. He says at the end of verse 43, it is sown, again, not buried, but is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Sown in weakness. Our bodies are weak. They say we peak at about 30 to 35 years of age. That is our strongest point in life. And after 35, bad news. It's all down from there. Can't do what you used to do. I drive into church sometimes, and I'm driving through Cambridge, and I see people out there jogging. And they're jogging on the side of the road, and I remember the days, the glory days, that I used to get up and go running and jogging and just enjoy it, and thought I'd do it till I was 80 or 90 years old. Something happened at 40. I did a little bit after that for a while, but never like it was before I was 40. And it's just what happens. This body gets weak. Not just by the lack of natural strength, but the illnesses that come around and the slowness to recover from the illnesses that we have. And all these things that happen, they happen because we are sown in weakness. Our steps get slower. Our sleep gets longer. All signs of the weakness of the body. And one day we'll be planted in sleep, as the Bible calls it. But one of these days, we'll be resurrected in power. I like to jog. I was never very fast. And one thing I liked about running, like 5Ks and stuff, you didn't have to be first. You just had to finish. And that was fun, just to be able to finish. Never really fast. I'll tell you what, you wait and see when I get my glorified body. You watch how fast I am. Now, it won't be fair because you'll be fast too, so it's not really fair. We talked this morning about the farthest galaxy that man can see is 32 billion light years away, and beyond that is the throne of God. The throne of God, 32 billion light years away, sitting up there on his throne. And we know that when our bodies are resurrected, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when that body's brought up, it's going to be in the presence of the Lord. 32 billion light years in the twinkling of an eye. That's fast. You ever been in a car when somebody hits a gas pedal and you kind of get thrown back in the seat? You watch those jet pilots in the military and they're going to go Mach 1 and boy, it just pins them back in their seat. Imagine you and I are going to go 32 light years in just an instant in that glorified body. Not only that, it's going to be here and there and over there whenever it wants to be. Jesus set the example of that glorified body after his resurrection by being in the upper room of the disciples when they'd boarded it shut and locked all the windows and doors, and he just walked right in and said, "Peace be unto you." We're going to have a body like that one of these days that we can be go anywhere we want. It seems to indicate that way. It's sown in weakness, but it's going to be raised in power. Who wouldn't want to trade that? For some reason here on earth, we want to hang on to this. And I understand that. We're not anxious. But boy, are we going to get a good deal when we trade in the old for the new. From weakness to power. Verse number 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. It is sown a natural body. What is that? That's the body you're dwelling in right now. It's natural. It's normal. Some people do things with their body that just isn't normal. But on the average, in the group I'm looking at here tonight, we're okay. All right, this is the natural, the normal body. But one of these days, we're going to put on the spiritual body. Now, don't misunderstand what Paul is saying by spiritual body. He's not saying that it isn't physical. But as the body is subject to nature, the spiritual body will be subject to the spirit. And so we will no longer be under the power of the natural body. And we talked about that and said that. We'll no longer be under the influence of sin, the temptation of sin. Our natural body will be changed to a spiritual body. But it's still physical. It's still a physical body. Look back at Luke chapter 24. Keep your place there in 1 Corinthians. But look back at Luke 24. I read some of the other Bible students and they call this the prototype. Luke chapter 24, the Lord Jesus, the prototype of this body. And I don't, that word sounds silly to me. The Lord is just the first example. He's the first fruits of this body that we're going to have. And in Luke chapter 24, after his resurrection, he says this in verse number 39. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 39. In verse 38 he says, he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. Now this was just a spirit body. You'd try to reach out and your hand would go right through him. Like what we call a ghost or a spirit or something like that. You wouldn't be able to touch it. But Jesus said, this is my resurrected body. This is my glorified body. He had a human body. He was made in the likeness of man. But after his resurrection, it's glorified. He's setting the example here. But it's still physical. He says, handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me having. When he had thus spoken, he showed him his hands and his feet. In John chapter 20, he showed Thomas his hands and the spear wound in his side. It was a physical body, but it was a spiritual body. No longer bound to the realms of nature, but now free to move in the spirit. One of these days, we're going to trade this old thing in for that. That's going to be some kind of a day. Five changes from corruption to incorruption, from honor, from dishonor to glory, from weakness to power, from a natural body to a spiritual body. And then fifthly and lastly, in verse 47, I've got to get back to 1 Corinthians 15 here, verse number 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such also are they that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. The fifth change is from the earthy to the heavenly. We're going to trade in this body that is Adam-like. That's what he talks about in verse number 45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam, was made a quickening spirit. It tells us in verse 47, the first man, that's the first Adam, is of the earth earthy. The second man, and I'm thankful that Paul identified, is the Lord from heaven. You have those words, the Lord, right there? Then you've got a King James Bible. Because the words the Lord there are not in the modern translations and versions. They've taken the Lord out of verse number 47. How'd you like to have to give an answer to the Lord for that one? Taking him out of his Bible. The first man is of the earth earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So we right now are in the image of the earthy. We're in the image of Adam. We've got a corruptible, dishonorable, weak, natural, earthy body because we inherited it from Adam, our great-great ancestor, the one who passed it down to us. And it is fit for life on earth. And as long as we're here on earth, that body will be here for us. But one of these days, we're going to need a body that fits us for heaven. Because this body could not exist up there. It would explode or implode, or you'd have to invent some new word for it, I think. It couldn't handle what's up there. So God is going to change this body and make it a resurrected body according to the second Adam from heaven. Turn over, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Here's the best description of that body we're going to get. First John chapter 3, verse number 1. Very familiar verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You know, this whole change you're going to experience is because of the love of God shown in Jesus Christ by his death on Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. And our faith in him is going to be rewarded with this second body. All those that die outside of Christ, their body will decay. Their body will continue to be corruptible. They'll not be resurrected to be with the Lord. It's a whole other story. But here he says in verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, right now, you and I that are saved, we're the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, that's when the resurrection takes place, by the way. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. I'm amazed by those that claim they see Jesus in a vision or a dream. If you did, I know when the angel appeared to Peter, when an angel appeared to Manoah and his wife, when an angel appeared to others in the Bible, it took their breath away. They dropped down on their knees. They were never the same after that. And nobody here has seen the Lord in our day right now. But one of these days, we're all going to see him at the same time. At the last trump, at the shout, when the voice says, come up hither. And those of us that have not had to go the way of death will be transported in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And this corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal put on immortality. We'll trade in this body. Everything that happens to the resurrected folks, we'll get it without having to go by the way of death. Man, that'd be the way to do it. I remember a precious Christian lady telling me one time, she said, I'd like to live till the rapture. I want to go that way. Well, that was probably 25 years ago, and she passed away shortly after that. But you know what? I don't think she regrets what happened that day when she traded in this old, dishonorable, corruptible body for one not made with hands, for one like unto his glorious body. Paul explains to us, the resurrection is so easy to believe because God is capable and able. If he could do what he did with the beasts and the fowl and the fish, if he can do what he did with the moon, the sun, and the stars, he can do what he declares he's going to do with these human bodies of ours. He's going to bring them back to life. And he's going to give them immortality. Death will be swallowed up in victory. You know where that verse is? right at the end of this chapter in 1 Corinthians 15. Because Paul's talking about that resurrected body. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.